Good evening. Sunday ago, I preached on building upon a firm foundation. So this evening, we're going to talk about keeping the foundation. Because many, like many things, whether it's a home, whether it's a car, your own body, a relationship, whatever it may be, they need maintenance. It needs to be kept up. With a vehicle, you need to make sure the oil's changed, the tires are good, the engine's running smoothly. In a relationship, you need to make sure there's communication, that you're communicating with one another, keeping up, making sure everything's well. We need to understand, once we start building upon the foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we must keep that foundation, because there can be cracks that appear. And it's not the cornerstone's fault. It would be our own. And once those cracks become big enough, the whole foundation will collapse. And so keeping the foundation, keeping our relationship with Christ close and strong, is something we are called to do as disciples. And so the first thing we need to do is to know the ins and outs. Right? We need to know who God is. We need to know how do we come about being saved and being justified and sanctified and one day being glorified. How do we keep away sin? How do we do these things? Well, when we have a relationship with Christ, we need to know everything we can. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we know, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. What's Paul talking about here? We see that Paul is talking about our bodies, these bodies that we have. These are not made to last long, and as a disciple and keeping that foundation, we must understand this is temporary. Everything here is temporary, from our bodies to everything we own. We are mortals. Eventually, our time will be up, whether it's when Christ comes back or when we take our last breath. And we understand that we will be further clothed. Once again, this is just a shell. Our real bodies are the souls that we have. And these souls, once again, when we are raised on the second coming of Christ, when the dead rise first, and we will meet them up in the air in a twinkling of an eye, everything will be changed. We will receive new bodies, and these bodies will be immortal. We will never see death again, except spiritual death for some. And this is one thing we need to understand, because so many are focused once again, on things that are temporary. People, and there are even Christians who are focused on it. But those on the outside, that's their main focus. It's the temporary. Why? It doesn't last. Why focus on it? And so, once again, knowing the ins and outs, we need to understand all of this is temporary. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Here's another thing we need to understand as true disciples and trying to keep the foundation. There is no salvation in any other. Only Jesus Christ, as Christ would say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have so many who chase after other ideologies, chasing after other religions, which there is no purpose, no truth in those. Or they simply chase after worldly things. There is no salvation under any other name except Jesus Christ. Yet there are many Christians who will hold to humans. Well, this person will save our country, will save our world. No, they won't. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. You know, I thought about this. If our country would put Christ back at the center of their lives, talking about a change, and I'm not talking pretending, I'm talking truly putting Christ back at the center of your lives, we would see a big difference. But guess what? It'll never happen. It will never happen. And so we need to understand, knowing the ins and outs, Christ is the only way to obtain salvation, is the only way to the Father. Yet many disciples, I don't think, understand that truly. Because you can tell by their actions. Another thing, another in and out we need to know and understand is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Another thing we need to understand is that this book, that is the greatest selling book of all time, is the true and inspired word of God, and it is very powerful. It can change a man or a woman. It can change the way we think. It can save us. It tells us how we can be saved from this crooked and perverted generation. Yet many neglect it. Many leave it on their coffee tables, leave it on their nightstands to collect dust, never opening it. Many count on the preacher to know everything and tell you everything instead of going and studying for yourself. That's where a lot of people get caught up with false teachers. This shows us how we can be equipped to do every good work, how to please God. Yet many reject it, and even many who proclaim to be Christians neglect it and do nothing with it. Once again, as a true disciple, we know the ins and outs. You know, think about the greatest hobby that you love the most, and you could tell anyone everything about it. I used to be like that with gaming and sports. I still know a little bit about sports. I don't keep up with the newer stuff. But I can tell you about Pete Rose and all of his stats, what he did in his career, because I studied him. I knew him. I didn't know him personally. I wish I did. It'd be pretty cool. Peyton Manning, I could tell you everything. Can you tell people everything you know about Christ? Everything you know about Scripture? Sadly, a lot of people couldn't, because we don't give the time that is needed in God's Word. And that's why we find ourselves struggling. It's why we find ourselves weak. If we want to keep this foundation, we need to know the ins and outs. We need to know how to do maintenance to keep it up. Just like a relationship, if you stop communicating, if you stop getting to know the other individual, your husband or wife, guess what? That relationship's not going to last. If you don't know the ins and outs of your own vehicle, guess what? And you don't keep regular maintenance up, it's going to stop working. Once again, if we don't keep up the foundation and keep on building upon it and providing maintenance, that foundation will start having cracks and eventually will give out and will be like the foolish man whose house is swept away. The other thing that we need to really work on It's having a life of prayer. I think prayer is so vital in our life today. As a Christian, prayer is our emergency line to God. But not just for emergencies, but during the good times as well. Prayer is vital to our survival as Christians in this crooked and perverted generation. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 15, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Prayer of a righteous man is so powerful. Now, understanding, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to. Absolutely not. He knows what's best for us. I would leave it in God's hands with it all, because he knows better than I do. He knows more than I do. And it will always be like that. But prayer is such a beautiful thing that we have, a beautiful gift we have to be able to approach the throne of God and talk to him and communicate with them. Yet many of us, like the Word of God, we neglect prayer. We'll pray during the bad times, but how about the good times? Do we communicate with them on a daily basis? We see Elijah here being used as an example. He prayed for there to be no rain daily. Guess what? Rain didn't happen. Then when he prayed for rain, the heavens opened up, rain poured down on the earth. Elijah and many of the prophets leaned on God, leaned on prayer. They were what I would call prayer warriors. I think it's so important. In Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Here's Paul telling the Colossians, continue earnestly in prayer, being consistent, doing it every day, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, when we look at the apostles, when they went through terrible times, thrown in prison, beaten up, they always were praying, and their fellow brothers and sisters were praying for them. But not just in the bad times, but also in the good times. Always giving thanks to God. And we see here, Paul's even asking them, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul was all in, and he was asking for the Colossians to pray for him, that God would open up doors for us to take this mystery of the gospel to everyone we can and to win lost souls. Prayer is so important. Praying for the church, praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for the lost, praying for our enemies. How many times have you prayed for your enemies that they would turn their life around? You know, the world doesn't hope good on the enemy. They hope harm. They hope that our enemies fall. But as a disciple, as a Christian, it's important that we love our enemies, no matter what they do to us, that they would turn their life. That should be our main focus, is to win as many souls as we can and bring them to heaven. Is that our prayer? In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." And we'll see texts like this throughout. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. We see in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. The apostles, even Christ, took prayer seriously. After the feeding of the, I can't remember, it was the 4,000 or 5,000, Christ tells his followers to go across and he would meet them on the other side. He goes and he's spending time with his Father. He's going away from everything to pray, to communicate, to talk with his Father. We even see him in a garden of Gethsemane, praying to God, leaning on him, because once again, he was about to be separated from his Father for a time. He wasn't sweating blood and or all of that for what he was about to go through. He was willing to do that. He was afraid to be separated from his Father. It was going to be a fearful moment for him. Once again, prayer is so vital. Do we take it seriously? Now, once again, we're not perfect. We're going to struggle. We're going to have mishaps. And sometimes we will. It happens that we don't lean on God when we should. But once again, now that's the time to go to God. And finally, keep sin away. Abhor what is evil. This is where a lot of Christians struggle. Once again, if you have not been keeping up the maintenance with the first two, knowing the ins and outs and prayer, you're going to find yourself with sin, in sin, struggling with sin. Because you have allowed a crack to come about in that foundation. And when it gives out, you find yourself in a pit of misery, in a pit of sin. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Be imitators of God as dear children. If we are called to be imitators of God, that means we should not be in sin. None of these sins named here, none of the sins named in 1 Corinthians 6, none of the sins named in Galatians, we should have no partaking in it. Going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed in this world to this world. Don't be like them. You are called, you have been justified, sanctified, set apart for Christ. If you do the first two, you will see a difference in your life. If you know the ins and outs, you stick to God's word, you have a prayer life, you're going to see a big difference. You're going to hate what is evil. You're going to want to stay away from it, and you want nothing to do with it. But those who give into it, those who have fallen back into it, they've allowed the crack in those foundations. They have not been taken and doing the maintenance that they've been called to. Going on in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8 here. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Going back to his teachings, you are the light of the world, and we are called to let that light shine. Not hide it, but let it shine. We are the salt of the earth. Salt that loses its taste is useless. Have we become such that we have allowed sin to come in and destroy everything that we have built up? Once again, yes, it's so easy to come to Christ, to give your life to Christ, and to start building upon that foundation. The hard part begins by keeping the foundation, by keeping it in shape, by continuing to perform maintenance on it. You know, think about it. When you build a home, that's the easy part. You let the professionals come in, they build it up, they build the foundation, build your house. It's up to you to keep that maintenance up, to find things, to make sure everything's up to code and whatnot. The same thing with a vehicle. It's so easy to go to a car lot and say, hey, I want a new car. They'll swarm you like animals. That's the easy part. But the hard part is remembering, hey, I need to get my oil changed. Hey, I need to check the tires. Hey, I need to make sure everything's running smoothly. Because if you forget, guess what? Things are going to ruin. Your bodies, hey, guess what? If you don't get enough water, you're going to become dehydrated. That's not a good thing. You're going to be in the hospital. If you don't eat good food, you eat junk food, your body's going to shut down. If you're not exercising daily, guess what? Your body's going to fall apart. I'll tell you, yesterday moving her stuff, my wife's stuff up to the house and humidity was not fun. I was out of shape. That's something I need to work on. But once again, maintenance, daily maintenance for our souls. Can we feel when our souls are hungering and thirsting for something, when it needs something? We need to make sure we feel and hear what it's screaming for. And giving it to it, giving the nourishment it needs with God's word, with prayer, and keeping the nastiness, the junk away. As Paul would tell the Colossians, you need as a new man to get rid of all the filthiness, all the sin. It doesn't need to be named among you. You are a new man, a new woman in Christ. No more of this. Put it away. It's a sad reality when we see so many Christians allowing those cracks to form and collapsing. In a way, I feel bad for them and I pray for them that they return. But at the same time, these are the same people that will show up and hear the word of God preached, but they do nothing outside of that. And you have to rebuke, you have to correct them. This is important to keep that foundation. Have you kept the foundation? Or have you not built upon the foundation yet? If you're not a Christian, now's the time to start building upon a foundation that will not break, that will secure you. At that moment, when you start building upon the foundation, that cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, your life changes for the better. And this is how you do it. You hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, Mark 16:15-16. You repent of your sins, change one's life, Acts 3:19. Then you must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3:26, so forth, so on. But it doesn't stop there either. Once you have that firm foundation, you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23, and keep performing daily maintenance. Or if you are a Christian and you have allowed cracks in that foundation and you have collapsed into sin, now's the time to pick yourselves up and to renew your walk with Christ and to start performing daily maintenance. But that's why the church is here as well, to encourage you, to help you, to lift you up. So if you hear this evening and you need Christ, I pray that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.